Today on Real Life Radio.
It doesn't matter what you say in this world, if it doesn't sit well with some people, they're going to absolutely come after you. Tell me what Jesus said that justified these Pharisees and scribes to come after him like that. The answer is nothing. They had an agenda.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, let me tell you about our current featured resource. It's a book by J.I. Packer called Knowing God. A lot of us long for a deeper relationship with God. Packer really helps us to understand that once you dive into the nature and character of God, you'll begin to feel the freedom that you've longed for. So pick up your copy of Knowing God for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Show Us Your God. You know, this series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 20, we'll consider the best and worst of times. You see, Jesus is in his final days on earth, and he's giving his best revelations in the worst of times when nothing really makes sense. Still, Jesus emphasizes the importance of fulfilling our civic responsibilities while also recognizing God's ultimate authority. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that even today, the world is watching Christians. The world has an agenda to trip us up with our own words and deeds. But when our ethics and moral code line up with Christ, what we say and what we do will be right and true. Now with his message called Show Us Your God, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
What I say and do matters. Kids know this. We've even made a little perverse parable about it. Do as I say and not as I do. That's impossible. Kids are sponges. They're sponges with little legs on them. Not SpongeBob, but I'm thinking they're kids are sponges with little legs and hands, and they listen to mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and school teacher and police officer and people of authority, pastors included. They listen to those who God's established as authoritative figures. Amazing. But that's the way of God. And they listen and they take it in. That's why big sisters and big brothers are so important. That's why your friends are so important. They actually help shape who and what you are. And so when someone says something, that little kid, listen, he's hanging on to it. That little kid is going to say those same things. He's going to regurgitate. He's going to bring up those same things that they hear and that they see. Also this, verse 21, you show us your ethics by showing us your God, because it's seen that in how you treat others personally. He says, verse 21, and you do not show personal favoritism or partiality, but teach the way of God. I don't need to belabor this other than this. It's amazing to me. They're saying, hey, Jesus, you're right on. You don't have favorites. And you guys, scribes and Pharisees, were the most notorious violators of showing favoritism. In fact, you've read the scriptures. They had favorite seats that they sat in that they reserved for them. They're the best seats in the house that nobody else could sit in, because they were supposed to have the best seat in the house that had all the right lighting and all the right acoustics and all the right exposure to everybody else. They had the chief seats. And Jesus says, I'm not like that. And they said, you're not truly great that you're not like that. And they were just like that. It's amazing. In 2 Corinthians 10:12, the Bible says, we do not dare, listen to this, we do not dare class ourselves among ourselves and compare ourselves with others. Measuring ourselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, we are not wise. Wow. Colossians 4:5 says, be wise in the way you conduct or act toward unbelievers. Make the most of every opportunity. Church, I want to repeat that verse. Colossians 4:5, be wise in the way that you act toward unbelievers. Make the most of every opportunity. How do we treat others personally? As Christians, do we walk around condemning people and there's sparks flying out of our fingertips? No, we can't do that. Are we to speak the truth? Yes. Are we supposed to speak the truth in love? Absolutely required. We don't shy away from the truth. But we also, because God's truth is always able to be delivered in a package of love, We treat others in a way that's respectful. In John 13, 35, Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." That's a great, great thing. Verse 22, we learn this is by example that you set publicly. You show us your ethics by the example that you set in a public forum, wherever you might go. And here's what they ask. And you guys, I wish we could have had a camera and a microphone at the moment. Here's their question. This is the golden moment to stump Jesus. This is their question that's going to ruin him forever. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Well, the question was designed to put Jesus in a quandary or to throw him on the horns of what is called a dilemma. There was no way out in human logic for Jesus to get out of this. Because here's the situation. Ever since the year 6 AD in the first century church, Rome imposed a tax upon Israel. The Caesars had implemented a stimulus package. I mean, a poll tax upon every person that was occupied by the Roman Empire. The poll tax was a tax that every person paid, literally, I'm not kidding, to breathe Roman air and to walk upon Roman dirt. It was imposed in the year 6 AD. Jesus was just a young child at that time. And the Jews, of course, resented it. Because what you and I do not get in our culture, we miss so much that the rest of the world understands hands down. And the Jews understood it well, that when you pay tribute to someone, you are submitting to their authority. Did you know that? Of course you know that. When you pay tribute to the government in your taxes, do you understand that you are acknowledging their authority? I didn't think of it that way. Well, you better start thinking about it that way. Keep that in mind. It's very, very important. Because whoever image is on here, you don't own these dollar bills. According to law and according to ancient tradition, timeless, whosoever image is stamped on the currency is the owner of that currency. And listen, number two, wherever that currency is exchanged, wherever you're standing, if you had a Roman coin and you were standing in Spain and you did transactions with Roman currency in Spain, it spoke about Caesar's authority in Spain. Wherever the currencies, in fact, you know this, there used to be a time when the U.S. dollar was number one in the world. Why? Because wherever the U.S. dollar went, it carried authority and people would take it because it was as though America ruled the world. Those days are over and they're gone. That's not true anymore. I've been rejected in other countries having a dollar bill now. Rejected. We don't take that. I was told in Russia, told in Germany, we don't take that money anymore. Where years before, they would take it in a moment. Why? What's going on? A change in power, a change in influence. Keep that in mind. Is it legal for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? They're completely expecting Jesus to mess this up. Because if Jesus says, pay taxes to Caesar, then Jesus is saying that he doesn't acknowledge God's authority over Israel, who's been occupied. If he says, don't pay taxes to Caesar, now he's announcing that you violate the law and throw the authority that's over Israel off your back. That's a very incendiary statement. Are you with me, everybody? So you can see why they posed that question to him. We got him. He can't get out of this one. And no, I have no doubt personally, this is my opinion, I have no doubt that Satan put that in their head. I think Satan just deposited that devilish little thought in their minds. But that doesn't bother the Lord at all. He can handle that. The scriptures teach us, and it's good for us to write this down. The scriptures teach us in Titus 3, verse 1, remind them to be, that's the believers, remind the believers to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. You guys, that's Bible. And that has to do with you and I speaking and relating to our government. I'll explain in a moment before you run out of here freaking out. Romans 13, 1 and 2 tells us that God has established the governments over nations. You say, Jack, I don't like the current government we have. I understand that. And right now I'm seriously praying, God, regarding what's happening to our freedoms and the attack that's coming upon us every day, what's happening? Is this the hand of God in judgment upon us as a nation? If it is, we certainly deserve it. Is something else going on? Then Lord, please rescue this nation. But understand something, this is a very serious time. Jesus would say today, if you were to ask him, Jesus, should I pay taxes to the U.S. government that funds abortions? what would Jesus say? His word never changes, you know. You say, Jack, are you suggesting that we should pay taxes to a government that kills children? I'm saying that we are to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Here's the thing. A lot of Christians want to fight about rendering stuff to Caesar and they ain't rendering much to God. So what are you crying about? The truth of the matter is God has got an answer for us and it's wise. And we need to be patient because all those in authority will someday answer to the God that they offended. This is very serious stuff we're talking about today. It's very timely also. Should you and I pay taxes? Yes, we should. Even politicians should pay taxes. I know that's a radical thought, but we should pay taxes. I don't like it, and we all pay it. And it's a hard thing to write, isn't it, that tax? And I always say, Lord God, I disagree with how this is being spent. This is your money, God. This is your country. Now, for those of you who are saying, I don't believe in that, Pastor, I don't agree with you, I'm not going to pay taxes, just understand this. In Romans chapter 13, 1 and 2, the Bible says that when the authority comes and gets you, you will pay for your disobedience to that authority. You don't have to pay taxes if you don't want to. Just understand this. You're signing up for a prison ministry, dude. I'll talk more on that as we wrap this up. But third and final point, verses 23 to 26. Show us your God and I'll show you your future. And that's the bottom line, isn't it? Show me your God. I had somebody say recently, I don't believe in God like you do. I have my own God and I follow him. And that's why I remembered her voice in my head. And that's my third point today. Your God that you worship, you cannot separate the God that you worship from your future. The God that you worship is your future. This is a big deal. Number one, by the words that you speak the words of your God that you're in association with. Jesus says in verse 23, or the Bible says in verse 23, and he perceived their craftiness. Anybody want to write down right now next to the notes? This is an attribute of deity. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. He knew their thoughts. I love it. See the word craftiness in the King James Bible there, Old King or New King James? Craftiness, the word, you understand it very well. It means dexterity, the ability to use different hands and different fingers equally. Dexterity. Jesus says, look at those guys. They're very, very much agile in their thoughts. They're very crafty. They have a lot of dexterity in their scheming. Very wise toward evil. He says, why do you test me? The word means test to, why are you trying to trip me? The word means this, boop. Why are you trying to trip me? It's futile, you guys. Today he would say to them in our modern day tongue, it's futile. So why are you trying to lie to me like this? You're wasting your time lying to me. I can see your thoughts before you even spit them out of your mouth. That's what he's saying to them. Is that cool? Don't you love this? I love it. Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. You all understand that. You want apples, you go to an apple tree. God says, amen. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. A good man out of the treasures of his heart speaks good things, brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men speak will be held accountable for in the day of judgment. And by their words, they will be justified. That's the future, my friend. And by their words, they will be condemned. God doesn't condemn you. Your words condemn you. Interesting. Psalm 139, verse 23. The psalmist prays 139, 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Why is that a great prayer? Because God knows our thoughts today.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Also this, understanding. Show me your God and I'll show you your future by the understanding that you have. This is amazing. We become like our gods. When Jesus says in verse 24, show me a denarius. Whose image and inscription does it have on it? And they answered, Caesar's. They shouted that out. Look to the screens and you can see some real, actual denarii. There's millions of them that have been unearthed. So as they, Jesus holds up this coin, it was not that, it's not something that looked like this. It was not something that was kind of like this. This is what Jesus held up. You're looking at it. This very image and inscription, check it out. Whose image? Caesar's. And in the Roman mind, in the Roman world, Caesar was God on earth. Did you know that? He was a descendant of the gods. It's very offensive to the Jews, and it should be. It's very offensive to Christians, and it is. Whose image and inscription is this? Whomever's image appears on the coin is the one who owns it. And that's a fact. The word image here in the Greek is a very familiar word to you. It's the word icon. You've heard that word before. It means likeness, profile, representation, resemblance. The word inscription is what's embossed on it. What does it say? What label or titling does it have? And this is what it said. It has the picture of Caesar, Tiberius Caesar, Augustus, and this is what it said in the inscription. Tiberius Caesar Augustus, son of Augustus the Divine. That's why it was offensive. These guys hold it up, and the Jews were angry and upset. Should we pay taxes? Because there was a big battle over that. They hold it up. And Jesus simply says, well, I'll answer that. Whose inscription is? It's Caesar's. What does it say on it? That Caesar Augustus Tiberius is the son of the divine. He's a son of the lineage of gods of the Roman Empire. Jesus simply states the currency and the realm in which they live in. And that's a fact. Now watch what happens. It looks like they got him. But here's an amazing thing. In verse 25 to 26, we'll end with this. It leads to a decision. Show me your God, I'll show you your future based upon the decisions you make in this life. My friends, this hurts, but I gotta tell you, you can't walk around making self-centered, self-glorifying decisions in this life all about you and you only at the expense of others and at the neglect of God, and then say that you know God and that you love God and that he's your God. We are to pick up our cross and follow him daily. So watch how we end with this. And he said to them, get your highlighter ready, render, circle it, render, give away, give back, take back to its origin. Therefore to Caesar, the things that are Caesar's, Caesar can have his stupid little coin. And to God, the things that are God's. And they could not catch him in his words in the presence of the people. And they marveled at his answer and they kept silent. Why? I leave you with this. We end here. When he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's, church, grab this and we come to an end. Jesus is condemning and exposing religion's Achilles tendon. This is it. I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hand because you may not be comfortable with this, but how many of you have been going to church all your life? How many of you have been going to church all your life not knowing why you're going to church? How many of you are here right now today and you don't even know why you should even be here right now today? Is your relationship with God for real? So Jack, I don't understand. Jesus is rendered to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God, the things that are God's. And if you hear him wrong today, this is what you hear in your head. From Monday to Saturday, I live for me and Caesar in this world. On Sunday, I'll do the God deal. And when I'm done doing my God deal, I'll punch the clock in, I'll punch the clock out. I've done my God stuff. I went to church. I put a nickel in the offering. I did my thing. My friend, is knowing God a burden to you? Is knowing God a bummer? Then you don't know him. You have diversified your life. And this is a dangerous trick of the enemy to do in our lives. We put God in a compartment and we put the rest of our life in another compartment. And then from those areas, there are sub-compartments. When my God comes out of the closet on Monday, my God that I use on Monday allows me to go to happy hour. My God allows me to look at pornography. My God allows me to beat my wife. My God allows me to abuse my kids. My God allows me to gamble. My God allows me to do whatever I want to do. That's my God on Monday, you see? And then Tuesday, now I'm at work on Tuesday, and now I've got all these parameters going on and all these pressures, and after all, you know, it's a tough world, and so my God on Tuesday allows me to lie about who foiled that project. My God on Tuesday allows me to climb over your neck to break your back so I can get that lead position. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? You may not want to nod your head, but let me tell you something. People live in one of those two worlds. And the other world being this, Jesus, when he said it, and some people got it and some people didn't get it. Just like some people today will get this and some people will not get this. When Jesus says, render to God the things that are God's. What does that mean? Is not the earth and all that is in it the Lord's? Is not Caesar none other than a tool of the hand of God? Yes. Is not your breath that you're breathing God's breath? Is not the dirt you're standing on God's dirt? You see, Jesus, for those who had ears to hear and eyes to see, they understood, that's brilliant. What he just said is awesome. That just placed Caesar right under God's authority. So when you render to Caesar, you're obeying God and you're obeying the government powers that God's put in place. Even though they're so bizarre and messed up and corrupt, you're obeying God and giving taxes, knowing in the end, those leaders will answer to God. Can you live like that? Do you understand that, Christian? If you don't understand that, you're gonna lose your mind. You gotta put those glasses back on and see clearly. Because once you see if I'm gonna render to God the things that are God's, everything belongs to him. Everything's his. You see, my friend, God is not number one on a list of 10. God is number one on a list of one. And everything else is under him, including little old Tiberius Caesar Augustus. And this will liberate you. And that's why his attackers saw, at least for a moment, some glimmer of light. That was brilliant. And their mouths were closed. Their mouths were shut. Well, I end with this. Wherever you and I go today, starting right now, you're gonna be leaving here in a second. I want you to have new glasses on. When you leave today, what are you gonna go do? You gonna go mow your lawn today? Mow it for Jesus. Amen. Are you gonna go to Mimi's today? Are you gonna go get a taco? Are you gonna go exercise today? Do it for Jesus. Are you a Christian today? I don't even want to ask you. Are you a Christian today? Then do it for Jesus. Because listen, you do not live in some compartmentalized world. You're fooling yourself. He is your God all the time, or you don't have him at all. And for us in this church, for us in our lives, I pray that we show the world our God. They need to see him. They don't need to see this church, and they don't need to know our names, but they need to see our God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Show Us Your God. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, Pastor Jack here. I'm not sure if you've heard about the Real Life Network, but I think that if you check it out, you're gonna wind up loving it. It's something that we launched so that we are actually cancel free. It's 100% video streaming on a platform that is just like Netflix or Hulu, except it's all Christian and conservative content. And it's 100% free. We've assembled some of the best Christian teachers, leaders, entertainers, all in one place. How do you sign up? You simply go to reallifenetwork.com and you're part of the family. Just simply go there, follow the prompt, and you'll be blessed. I'm telling you right now, the Real Life Network is the best thing coming at you now with conservative, strong, safe, biblical theology, and excellent character building content. RealLifeNetwork.com. Listen, it's all free. That's RealLifeNetwork.com. Register for free today.
It's one thing to know about God. It's another thing to know God. For 50 years, J.I. Packer has been helping people realize the difference with his excellent book, Knowing God.
Delving into the characteristics of a God who intimately knows his people and invites us to know him as well, this timeless masterpiece takes readers on a transformative journey, exploring the depths of God's character, his love, and his will for our lives. If you've ever wished for a deeper understanding of who God is and how to have a closer relationship with him, this book's for you.
This book walked me through, as a new believer, the things that I needed to know about hearing about the voice of God.
For a limited time, Real Life Ministries is offering this exceptional book in thanks for your generous donation. Your gift will be used to proclaim the truth of God's word to your community and the world, helping people move from knowing about God to knowing God for themselves. Knowing God by J.I. Packer can be yours for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.